Most High, I come to you giving you thanks and praise for keeping me in sound body and mind. I ask you to forgive me for all my indiscretions, all that I have done and all that I will do. I ask you to open me up, use me as your vessel, let my voice be yours. Speak your mission through me, allow the listeners to open up and receive it the way you intended. No holds barred. Use me.
So Ubuntu Radio returns for its second episode by popular demand, actually. We have again in studio North Carolina's own Miss Ansi, a star of our first episode, who's back, I think. She's been reminded of some stories that she forgot to mention to us the first time we sat down and talked. And just to remind you, if you haven't seen episode or heard episode one of Ubuntu Radio, we had a chance to talk to a 30-year-old, college-educated, bachelor's and master's from a prominent university in North Carolina. We're not going to mention the name, but you know, we want to find out about the realities of dating as a professional, single, highly educated, highly intelligent. If you are unsure about our intelligence, listen to the first podcast, Black Woman in North Carolina. The statistics and the realities are not really good for a black woman, it looks like. It seems like women like yourself, who seem to have it all, missing that extra component that happened. It's not that you need a man, but you understand what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, I think that's the rub in having it all, because you have a lot by yourself. And at some point, you want to share that with somebody else.
But I think one of the things that really struck me just as a student of history, and I love history, is, you know, in the middle of the 20th century, there was this great awakening, this feminism thing that really started taking hold in, unfortunately, white middle class, not unfortunately, but in the white middle class community, about these women who finally said, okay, we want to do everything. But looking back, black women have been doing everything since slavery. They had to be the workers, in a sense, because their men were not given opportunities. I'm not going all the way back to slavery, but once that was over with, black women were out there being the servants or the maids or what have you, then coming home and having to do the motherly thing with their kids. So it's like when I started really thinking about it, you guys are getting credit for something that women have been doing forever.
A lot of people think about sort of that we live in cycles. And I think for black women of a certain age, there is, for many of us, not a pushback against the traditional ideas of feminism, but we've reached a point where it's great that we're able to do all that we can do on our own, but we also look at our great-grandparents, our grandparents, unfortunately not always our parents, but we see black marriage as something that has kind of fallen to the wayside. There was this late 70s, early 80s concept of feminism that says I can do it by myself. And we were like, yeah, I can do all this by myself. And I think as a 21st century educated black woman, there's this desire that I don't want to. And I want to find an equally accomplished black man to build something with.
So is that regressive? Is that regression or is it transcendence? Are we moving forward in the thinking? Are we going back to an old, more formal?
Oh, I think
we're... Or the fact that you said you didn't learn that from your parents, it hints at the reality that, and we're about the same age, mm-hmm. We're older than you, but we're about the same age, but the reality is folks of our generation, I guess Generation Y, we didn't see a whole lot of successful marriages.
No.
We don't. Our parents divorced. Well, whatever the reasons were, they divorced at a rate of about 50%. So I think we are want to create that thing because we knew how bad, I guess, our childhood was missing that component.
I think for a lot of us, parents were married for a while and we saw divorce. When we looked sort of at what was happening in our neighborhoods, that fathers who might have wanted to be at home were lost to sort of our institutional incarceration system for various reasons.
Your dad was in jail?
No.
No?
My daddy never went to jail.
What was your dad like?
My dad was funny. And for as long as my parents were married,
So they did divorce.
They did divorce. They divorced when I was about 13.
13.
My brother was 22. So they were married.
That's old.
Yeah. They were married for about 24
years.
Sounds
like an old guy.
They were married for about...
Does he look old?
No.
Does he look old?
He's your age.
So he's handsome?
Yeah.
He's handsome for his age, like me.
Yeah.
Why do you hesitate?
He's my brother. I don't think of him being handsome or not handsome.
But, I mean, how many other 30-year-old guys, black guys, do you know?
Not a lot.
So if it's comparing me and your brother...
Outside of my family.
But if it's comparing me and your brother...
Clearly, you are more...
Are you siding with your brother?
I know. Not in...
Are you saying I'm ugly?
No.
By default?
I'm not saying you're ugly by default. In fact, you're probably handsome by default because I don't want to look at my brother like that. This is not, you know, ancient Greece. I'm not Oedipus. But anyway, to my point.
What are you, Antigone?
No.
No? Are you surprised that a black man knows his Greek
tragedy? I'm not. And in fact, that is the exciting thing that I think makes me want to go back to a more nuclear sense of what could be.
Because Oedipus fucked his mama?
No. Because...
You are sick.
Because you know who Antigone is. And there is an understanding that in the 21st century, there are more black men who know who Antigone is. I need to find one.
So where do you find the brother who knows? What have you tried in terms of meeting men? What have you gone out there and tried? You do the let's do lunch thing. Isn't that like a big thing now? It's not date. Let's do lunch because it's safer. Or I read somewhere about it's called social dating, where everybody decides they're gonna be at the same place at the same time, but there's no pressure. You're not with any one person. I thought that was called a fucking bar.
No.
Why are we trying to redefine things that already exist?
No. Okay, first of all, I've never done a group date per se. I have gone out and known from one of my girlfriends that she was gonna invite a guy who was single, and we were all gonna go watch a football game. You know, let's
what
say.
What team?
ACC teams.
Oh, ACC. So you're an ACC guy. We're going to find out. We're not.
ACC teams that are playing, and let's say they're not playing in state, but everybody wants to watch. So you go to a local sports bar, and there's your girls, and, you know, their significant others, and maybe some friends of theirs, and it's casual. There's couples. There's single people. And really, you're all coming together because you decided that one of the guys needs to meet one of the girls.
Is this where you met Jamal?
Jamal was introduced to me by white people who all knew Jamal at the same time. And I met Curtis through my own...
misgivings.
Misguided
attempts.
Misguided independence.
Okay.
But,
That sounds like a Destiny's Child song, doesn't it?
Misguided independence.
I don't think Beyonce would sing it. It would be one of the others. Because it doesn't sound like it's gonna be a hit.
Not so much.
It's like a knockoff. It's like
track 11.
Right. Or a knockoff group of Destiny's Child would sing a song. What's it called?
Misguided Independence.
Misguided Independence.
But it would be like Misguided Independence. Question. Tell me what you think about me. I buy my own diamonds and I buy my own rings. Only ring your celly when I'm feeling lonely. When it's all over, please get up and leave. Question, tell me how you feel about this. Try to control me, boy, you get dismissed. Pay my own condo and I pay my own bills. Always 50-50 in relationships. The shoes on my feet, I buy. The clothes I'm wearing, I buy. The rock I'm rocking, I buy. But anyway, so...
That's my job. I bring us back on task as the host. I'm trying to take over this show.
You got me.
Just like a black woman. You're trying to take over.
You're trying to take over.
Why are you trying to take over? I'm not trying to put you in your place. Okay. But still, this is my show. This is my podcast.
You are correct.
Okay. So as I was saying... Actually, what was I saying? Seriously, I can't remember. Come on.
I don't know. We were talking about, is it regressive or is it something
that
we never had?
And we're talking about Greek tragedy.
Then you tried to talk about my dad, and you were trying to make me discuss my daddy issues.
Did you grow up in North Carolina?
I did.
We're not going to go into where.
Yeah.
Is it a small town or big city?
Small town.
Small town. Okay, Mixtown, or is it like the track, the railroad track, or the highway, and the black people on the highway,
no,
on the other side of the highway?
It was, there's a significant number of black people and white people, but we lived in different neighborhoods, and they were clear.
Clearly marked?
Delineation.
Was there cross-pollination points?
There was that girl, and everybody talked shit about her.
Really, was she black or was she white?
She was white.
She was white, and all the brothers...
No. Just one. Like, it was very Pollyannish, like a 4-year.
There's one white girl hanging out with one white guy? One black guy?
Yeah, and they were like in a monogamous, let's go to prom together and go to Bible study.
Did you ever date white guy?
I eventually.
In high school? No, in high school.
No.
No?
No. I didn't date much at all in high school.
Why not?
Because I was busy trying to get out of my town.
Educated. This is how the educated black woman gets to be 30 with a master's. Congratulations on a bachelor's, because you spent time in high school not doing the stereotypical things that we get blamed for, but doing your damn job, which is being a good student. You're a good student, right?
I was.
A?
A.
All A, never B in your life.
A B in my life, yeah.
You did? And what subject? It still haunts you, doesn't it?
There are a couple of B's in math.
What? Math.
Math and science.
So don't trust you around money.
There's a difference between mathematics and arithmetic. There's a difference.
What's the difference?
Because
in the real world, I don't know how many people go to the store and say, excuse me, let me get this pie chart and calculate the calculus of this.
Because arithmetic is applied math. It's sort of simple, applicable math. Mathematics, as an academic pursuit, does not have to be applied. It can be discrete and theoretical. I have friends who are mathematicians. They've taken a lot of time to
teach the
difference. No.
No?
No. We have nothing to talk about.
Because you wouldn't understand what they
have. Speaking another language, I smile a lot and they would get tired because I'm cute, but I'm not that cute. They would get tired.
You would not understand what they were saying.
And they would get tired.
So no dating in high school.
No.
And you didn't see many black-white relationships there in your town, except for that one, the one girl, the one boy.
Yeah. Who are married today and have children. It's beautiful.
God, it's good for them, man.
Amazing.
Did your parents ever talk about black-white?
Oh, yeah.
As in, don't even think about them?
No, as in, I think my mom... there were two different conversations. There was a very different conversation before my brother and then for myself. For my brother, it was probably, you don't need to do this because I don't want my son run off the road somewhere or sitting in somebody's
jeep. So your town was like that? There's an undertone to that thing?
There's an undertone that would be a reality. And my mother was very cautious and didn't want that for my brother when he was in high school.
So there were white boys sort of looking, you know, whatever hard look they give to that guy that was dating a white girl?
Or perhaps white fathers.
Okay.
And my mother just didn't want that. And by the time I came along, my circle of friends had been so diverse from day one that my mom's only request, again, like in high school, it wasn't a big deal. By the time I went to college, she stopped asking what color the person was. She just asked, well, what church does he go to? Does he love Jesus? And as long as the answer was yes, he loves Jesus, we were okay.
At some point, eventually,
mm-hmm.
guessing, you know, out of college,
mm-hmm.
I think you mentioned you're obviously working for a couple of years,
yeah.
and you finally found a connection
yeah.
with one, and it was sort of a transformative experience. And talk a little bit about that.
What
was the situation? How did you guys meet?
It was, I dared go back online.
This was after,
After Curtis.
After Curtis?
After
So what was this new guy's picture like?
The new guy was educated, like he had a job in the arts and he had his verbs agreed in tense and number and case. And
God, we don't know how important that is, huh?
He only used, you know, one reflexive pronoun.
Wow.
at a time.
So the panties came out?
No.
No?
No.
So in and of itself. The verb tense.
Good grammar is not a panty dropper.
No?
No.
No.
It's par for the course. It's like my saying, I don't have any kids, and expecting that to, get you excited.
Chris Rock had a great line. I'm probably going to play it now.
Niggas always want some credit for some shit they supposed to do. For some shit they just supposed to do. A nigga will brag about some shit a normal man just does. A nigga will say some shit like, I take care of my kids. You're supposed to, you dumb motherfucker. What are you talking about? What are you bragging about? What kind of ignorant shit is that? I ain't never been to jail. What, you want a cookie? You're not supposed to go to jail, you low expectation ever, motherfucker.
He's so silly.
So, dude, you meet him. You said, again, frame this, you were at how old? 26, 27?
For the sort of transformative black man relationship?
Yeah, the one that said, 27.
I was 27.
27, so again, dating site.
Yeah.
The modern way of doing things,
yeah. I guess.
So you guys go back and forth, emailing,
yeah,
texting, messaging.
Emailed for like a week.
Talk?
Yeah.
And then the date.
Yeah.
And again, if you go back to the first podcast, you have some very specific places that you go with
very specific rules. Yes.
So were all these rules
followed? They were all met.
Did you lead him to do those things, or just on his own he came up with it?
On his own he came up with it.
So where, when, what time, how was he dressed?
It was a Sunday. It was a Sunday afternoon.
It's an odd day for a date.
Yeah. He had been out of town for business, and he was coming back, and we met at a local jazz bar. And we were going to meet for drinks, and we met for drinks, and they had jazz playing, and he walked in and had flowers. It was very kind.
Now, are flowers cheesy?
No, not for me.
They die. That's my thing, though. They die.
Okay, there are certain flowers that are cheesy. Carnations are cheesy.
Of course, what do carnations look like?
Carnations are the ones that, you often see, in a homecoming corsage. They're the...
What color?
They're different. They're like different light
colors.
Pink. Carnation, instant milk. There's a little carnation.
They flower out, or do they roses go straight up? Or?
No, they flower out. They're sort of dense and bushy. They're the ones that you see at Kroger. You can put them in a glass of pink Kool-Aid, and they'll suck up the Kool-Aid and change color.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
That's a science experiment?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what you do.
What about roses?
Roses,
passé.
I'm
cliche,
not a huge fan of
cliche.
Roses. Yeah.
Cliche.
So I'm a sunflower, calla lily, stargazer lily, snapdragons.
That sounds kind of sexual.
Orchid.
That's even sounds more sexual.
Anyway.
So you like sexual flowers?
Yes.
Snapdragons.
Sexy flowers.
And orchids.
Orchids.
Whatever that is, those things look like. So Mr. Orchid Man shows up.
Yeah.
And
we talked. We talked and had things in common, and we ended up having a bite to eat and listen to some jazz, and we sort of went from there, and it turned into a relationship.
How long?
2 years.
Good for him.
Yeah, good for him.
Let's call him
Stefan. We'll call him Stefan.
So you and Stefan dated for 2 years.
Yeah.
And that was the first serious relationship with the black man?
Mm-hmm.
Serious? At age 28?
27.
What were the expectations, and what was the reality?
There were no expectations. There were no expectations. It was like dating. It was a completely different planet for me. It was the antithesis of everything I'd really known up till then.
What had you known then?
White.
But you didn't date. Did you date?
Yeah.
When? So if it didn't happen, you said it didn't happen in high school. When did the...
College. Well, There became a running joke in college that I wasn't dating white guys, but I spent a lot of time with them. In fact, in college, and this just came to mind, I was asked, maybe my sophomore year, we had, public access, so there's a college channel.
There's evidence of this?
Yes. I don't know if it's still out in the universe. I can't remember the name of the show, but on our college campus, there was a show that was produced by African Americans, and I don't want to call it perspectives, but it was something along the lines of perspectives. And it was the Black People show on college TV, or later at that. And it was my sophomore year, so I'd been on campus for a year. And somehow, word got out about, not that I was dating, because I wasn't dating, but my perspective and I guess who I was hanging out with, although it's hard not to hang out with a bunch of white people.
So the other Black people on campus looked at you as the girl that hung out only with white people?
No. Not that I only hung out with white people that would date a white guy and like had no problem like approaching them or saying yes if they asked or... But the Black girl who still like hung out with Black people but would date a white dude.
That was rare at the university?
Well, no. I feel like it was... There was... people weren't exactly used to it. Like, I think there was either the Black girl who dated white guys because she didn't hang out with any Black people, and then there were sort of male athletes who, you know. Black guys who, you know, got attention from all kinds of women, but on a predominantly white campus, particularly white girls, and ended up in relationships with white women. And then there were the Black women, the rest of us, who, you know, there's 10 non-athlete Black men for 40 Black women, and you either end up dating sort of in rotation the same 10 Black guys, or you, some of you, you know, 10 of you try and go across town to the HBCU in town and find somebody, or the other 15 of you just don't date anybody. And so, I wasn't okay with that, so I was like, you know what, if Chad asked me to hang out, I'm gonna hang out with Chad, because I'm tired of sitting here waiting on another, you know.
So it seems like you were aware of the numbers, 40 to, so 4-to-1 ratio in terms of Black women to Black men on the campus.
To non-athlete Black men on campus.
Okay. Do you think the brothers were aware of this and just used it to their advantage?
I want to say that, I know they were aware of it. I won't say they used it to their advantage, because when your numbers are that small, your community gets really tight. And I'll say that, yes, men are men and women are women, so I'm not going to say nobody dogged anyone out, but like I'm still really close with all those people, and it was a really tight community. It was just, it didn't work out with this person. I don't want to be alone, so I need you to understand that I'm going to go out with this person now. And in all honesty, at 19 and 20, you want to have an attitude, but then there's a part of you that says, well, who the hell else is she going to date if she doesn't date my ex? And so you get over it.
Okay.
And for whatever reason, I didn't necessarily fall into that pattern of kind of running into or dating people, those 10 Black men, because I was related to one of them, so that was like 9 Black
men. Did you find that out later, Oedipus?
No, I knew that going in, that one of them was
did
my
he know it?
Yes, we grew up together.
Okay.
We grew up in the same small town together.
Check it. This is North Carolina, things happen.
So anyway, we, again, and this is not because I'm dating, per se, it's just because I'm willing to go to the parties, or better yet, I invite them to our parties. Like, I'll make a white guy friend.
So you were more open.
And I would invite him. There was a traditional fundraiser every spring to raise money for a scholarship fund for one of the historically Black sororities.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a thing. Everybody dressed up. And again, you know, there's 40 Black women. There's 10 Black dudes. So it's like, who's going to get to these 10 Black guys first to have a date? And so that's when I'm like, well, I want to date. These 10 dudes are taken. Well, 9 of them taken. One is my cousin. I'm just going to ask a white dude. And the first year it kind of became a thing. Like, he is the white dude. And after that, I was like, I'm just going to keep inviting white dudes. And so every year it was kind of this running joke of like, what white dude am I going to, you know, bring
to the Black event?
To one of the Black events. Oh.
Crazy.
apparently word got out that I was open to talking to people, and one of the producers, who was a really good friend of mine, was like, we are doing this show on interracial dating, and we heard you should be on it. Well, not we heard, we know you should be on it, so you should come be on the show. And it was like me and black male athletes, and then
no female athletes?
No.
Huh.
No. And then the one other black woman who, unfortunately, was kind of the stereotypical black woman to date.
I hate black guys, I love.
Well, I hate black men, but like, I just didn't grow up around black people, so when I came to college, it just seemed normal to me to not date them. Which was kind of sad. And so she was that girl who I said, hopefully I was the exception to. She was the girl who came to college and sort of, we only ever saw her in the company of white people, which is cool if that's, you know, who your friends are, but it seemed almost like a pointed decision on her part. So I was the antithesis to her. Anyway, so the show goes down and I'm talking, and after that fact, like I'm going around campus, and folks are like, Sayong, you know, awake all night last night, and, you know, giving your perspective, and, cool for you. And, you know, there's white dudes going, sup, that's cool.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Now that I know you're down, cool. They thought it was really cool that a black woman would just be open and say,
hot.
Not, I would say hot, like attractive.
So black men are hot. Black men are just attractive.
Some white men are hot too. Mark Ruffalo. He's kind
what do you mean
swarthy.
He's not white?
He's white.
He's swarthy. He's white. What is swarthy?
Swarthy, like olive complected. Like he can play Latino. He can play Latino.
I don't think he can play Latino. I'd give you Greek,
maybe.
Turkish,
okay, so there you
Uzbek,
go. Yes, maybe he's
Kazakhstani.
Maybe. I'm trying to think big white teeth, let me think.
We think big, so not in presence, but in size?
No, like...
Like John Goodman, ooh.
No.
John Goodman, you want yourself some John Goodman.
I don't want me some John Goodman.
Some John Belushi.
No, John Belushi. No. I can't think of sort of that presence in a white man right now.
Okay.
The only things that are coming to mind are black
men. So who are the black men, even though you didn't date them in college, who are the black men? They're out there in the world, that movie, like, well, that's a sexy piece of chocolate.
So I was in college in the early 2000s. So, like, every black man in a black pack movie.
So let me go through the list. Morris Chestnut,
yes.
Taye Diggs,
yes.
Terrence Howard,
yes.
Richard T. Hamilton.
Richard T. Jones.
Whatever his name is. Richard
Mekhi
T. Jones.
Mekhi Phifer. Boris Kojo. Yes, Boris. Omar Epps.
Was Tupac still alive?
Tupac was alive, but he didn't do it for
me. Being a big black man, Biggie.
No. Didn't do it for
On
me.
The Tupac Biggie scale, where would you have gone?
Neither one.
So you were like Iowa.
I was like Iowa.
You were not East Coast.
I was not East Coast or West Coast.
You were just Iowa.
Maxwell.
That's like a swirly looking kind of.
That's like a fine man. Yes.
That's kind of sensitive, don't you think?
No.
You made
like,
the you said white men that were a little too Ryan Gosling sensitive. The epitome of a sensitive man is butterfly. That's not a black
okay.
man.
Okay. Have you seen Love and Basketball?
What?
Have you seen Love and Basketball?
Not
therein lies the problem. If you had seen Love and Basketball,
he's an actor.
Recently,
does
no,
he play basketball?
No,
he doesn't look
song,
like he plays basketball.
The song This Woman's Work is the backdrop to a pivotal scene between Savannah Lathan and Omar Epps. It is
so there's some boots knocking going
it
on.
Is the soundtrack
is the boots knocking going on in Love and Basketball to Maxwell?
It is the soundtrack to a quintessential theme.
Boot knocking scene.
But not like not just
call
that.
It what it is.
It was sort of the epitome of where I was as a young woman of color in the early 2000s.
Where was that? You wanted you wanted some boot knocking Maxwell behind you.
No, they were in college and they were finding themselves and they had grown apart.
They were partying themselves?
They were finding.
Well, you eventually dated the black guy, 27, 28, for 2 years. Was there somebody that you dated for an extended period of time in college?
No.
No?
Mm-mm. I studied
abroad.
Isn't
that the reality?
No, because I know friends who did meet someone, you know, the one of the 40 met one of the 10, and it worked, even in the small numbers, and they were college sweethearts and are married now. But I will say, I studied abroad a semester, and that was...
Where did you go?
I went to London. And that was another place where I dated all over the sort of color spectrum and felt beautiful as a woman of color.
What were the brothers in London?
Somewhere. I only went out on one date with a black man, and he was from the West Indies. He was not.
Those guys sound sexy.
He was. He was not.
Did he have an accent?
He did, but it was British.
So it's like a muffled West Indian British accent. He would say, oh, what is it? Blasted, what's up? Cheerio!
Wow. No, he did not, you know, have a speech.
Howdy, yes! Yeah.
No, he, I don't...
Come over here, Miss Ting, how are you? What else thing? No?
I can't, it was, no, he lived in Brixton, so it was a very...
Brixton, massive Jamaican, that's a real Jamaican part of London.
There you go.
Dangerous.
That's where...
You, as a lady from a, almost an Ivy League Southern school, hanging with a brother in London, in Brixton, massive respect, Jen.
Thank you.
Massive respect.
Thank you.
Massive.
Thank you.
I thought you were scared out of your mind, you were.
There were times. I was like, you have to meet me at the tube station because I'm not walking to your house.
No.
Yes, I dated him, went out a couple of times, nothing serious, and met, dated white guys and, you know, Indian guys. And even though you're taking classes, one of the classes was a walking tour of the city, one of the classes was a drama class, so you're required at least 3 days a week to be out in the city, touring different museums, going to different plays, you're meeting people, and the university kicks you out of the house for 3 weeks during the semester, and you have to travel the continent. You can't stay in the house. And so during that time, I went to Italy, I went to France, I went to Spain. I went.
What do you mean, they take away your keys?
The house closes down. The house closes down.
Have they seen Taken by this point?
No, Taken didn't exist.
I don't think that happens now.
It does.
Have they seen Taken 2?
I don't know. I don't know if the professors have seen Taken. But it was the best thing, because you make friends with somebody in the house, and you come up with an itinerary, you share that itinerary with the head professor, and then you go out on the continent.
I think... If they have all the resources, I think there are people following you guys to make sure that you don't die, like in Taken 3.
Maybe.
There are people watching you when you go to Italy. There's some guy behind a newspaper.
Perhaps.
In a bowler hat.
Perhaps.
Or a fedora.
Perhaps.
A nice London fog trench coat.
Perhaps.
There's no way. And, well, okay, just close down. And this is not the 60s. This is a dangerous world out there.
It is, but
for an American.
But we were.
And what time was this? Is post 9/11?
Yes.
Are you?
That
is crazy.
This is 2003.
We're closing down. Go explore. Go do what in the 1960s everybody wanted to do, but it was a different time.
Do you? I got a Euro pass. I was going for 10 days and just traveled the continent. It was wonderful. Met people and it was great. But that during that time, I started to see that everywhere was not America, and there are places where brown skin was beautiful on a woman to men that weren't all brown. That
so you were the exotique, the Josephine Becker.
Sweet. And in fact, I went to Paris and went to Montmartre, which was the place in Paris where like Nina Simone and Richard Wright and James Baldwin hung out. And
so the fellas in Montmartre, they love them, the American women. The,
oui.
You and had yourself a good French time. You were a little tasty croissant, huh?
No.
A little tasty baguette?
No, I was a good girl.
Did you get yourself a baguette?
No.
If you understand that.
No, I did not.
No baguette?
I was very
for your
girl.
Croissant? No. The croissant and the baguette didn't
no.
melt, in the,
no.
melt in the oven?
No.
No?
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 No.
Oh oui?
No.
No?
No.
Oh oui?
No.
Oh no?
No.
Oh oui?
No. So, yeah, Paris and then Italy and then Spain and much the same. And so that, coming back to America from that, like...
So you were open to it even more?
It sort of threw my confidence through the roof because it was more of a matter of, like, you don't know you want me, but you want me. Mm-hmm. And not in a sexual way. Not in a sexual way, but just the confidence of that as a black woman, I am beautiful. And I'm beautiful to everybody. You just don't know that I'm beautiful to you because there's somebody shoving another image of beauty down your throat. But if I tell you, if I let you know that you think I'm cute, you're going to realize you think I'm cute. And it'll be great.
All that from 3 weeks traveling? So every you're saying every black
six
woman...
Months. Every six black months. Woman that was in Europe. Europe. Yes.
And
yes.
Just have them double take. The
yes.
fellas walking down the street.
You need,
no
to, you need to go to Sweden. You need
really?
To go to France.
Really?
You need to go somewhere in Norway.
Where you are the exotic.
Where you are the exotic. And not like... Not Aunt Jemima or Hottentot, let me touch your booty or rub on your hair, exotic.
Mm-hmm.
But the same way that Aishwarya Rai,
who's that?
She was Miss Universe. She was the most beautiful woman in the world. She's Indian. She's gorgeous. Was Miss Universe, and she comes here, and it's like this beautiful Indian woman, and she's exotic. And look at her, who she is, or you know, the Gisele Bündchens and the you know Shakiras or the Penelope Cruzes who come here. And in Spain, like, everybody is dark-featured and looks like them, but they come here and they're the exotic, and they're on posters, and they're amazing, or the accent. You know, I take my North Carolina country accent to Europe, and it's quaint and cute and American, and, you know.
You start speaking in the bar in Sweden, Norway, you can hear the chairs turning?
Pretty much.
Really?
Pretty much.
Good on you.
I didn't pay for drinks.
Look at you. Look at you.
Never pay for drinks.
Never paid for a drink in the entire time you were in Europe?
Nope.
Are they just nicer men or are they just
horny
men?
Let me clarify that in case there's a question. I didn't pay for a drink, nor did I earn it either.
Hmm?
It was just sort of there was a general understanding of you're buying me a drink. I made it very clear I need you to know you're buying me a drink and not buying me.
So you came back to America with the confidence, and you're a phenomenal woman. You feel like a phenomenal woman?
Yeah, and I think it gave me a greater confidence. But I think that I approached the situation with a certain amount of confidence. And that was something that my girlfriends always teased me about. They were like, you have never not loved yourself. And thankfully, like, I knew they didn't mean it in a bad way, and I, you know, and it may be a fault of mine, but I've always had a certain amount of natural confidence, and it's sort of in the guise that I'm going to let you know I like you, and you're either going to like me or not. The worst you can do is not. I don't want to be so presumptuous as to say it's your loss, but the worst you can say is no. But if you're lucky enough to say yes, You're getting somebody pretty awesome. In the mood, all I need is about an hour. Better yet, maybe two. Let me take you where I live. Ferrari switch gears. When I whisper in your ear, your legs hit the chandelier. Passion fruit and sex all in the atmosphere. I'm a lit to pain singer, so he can make it clear. And after being in Europe for, you know, 5-6 months and having that reaffirmed by people that I found attractive and interesting, and, you know, I came back to America and I was like, hell yeah, I'm at a prestigious university, I'm smart, you know, I'm out getting mine, I'm not looking for you to give me anything. You're gonna be pretty damn lucky if you spend time with me.
So dude number one, after that, mm-hmm. you get back to school, you go, I'm the shiznit.
Uh-huh.
You walk on campus day one. Uh-huh. So who's the first dude? Who's the first dude that you choose because you have this new campus?
There was nobody, because when I came back, I sort of had that in mind, but I also knew that so much of that was tied to who I was academically and finishing school. And it was more about, you know, watching The Best Man and watching The Wood and watching Love and Basketball and going, that's where I'm going to be. 5 years, 7 years. I gotta put in the work now, have a good time in college, but I was not looking for long-term in college. It was like, get through college, get into grad school, get on my grind so that in my mid-20s, late-20s, I can have the life that I see in these movies with the kind of person that I want. Mm. So, you know, coming back from Europe, it was all about
getting that paper. And we're talking about the degree.
Yeah.
Making sure the degree, so that you got the degree, you finally did that. Which, phenomenally, by the time you were 26?
No, I had my master's by the time I was 23.
Damn, that's pretty good. All right, so you have your master's, you're done with that, you start your professional life. Swirling in there?
A bit, but not really. The first couple of years were just like getting my feet underneath me and knowing what I was doing. And then there was time. Then I was like, okay, let's swirl.
So now we get to
25, 26,
and you meet, what are we calling him? Stefan.
No, there were white guys before Stefan. Stefan was the black man who, like,
transformed.
Got me on Black Man.
Baguette, huh?
Baguette.
You had a baguette?
Oui.
So you and Stefan,
yeah,
date for 2 years.
Yeah.
Going serious?
Yeah.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
Okay. Were you looking at marriage or something?
No.
No. Understood from both ends that you guys, you know, having a good time.
I don't know. I won't say having a good time, but it was sort of either it's going to build up to this or it's not. But there's certainly no rush on my part to build it up to that. So when it ended, it was like, oh, I wasn't expecting that. That sucks. But not, there goes my life mate.
But what was it in terms of character?
Mm-hmm.
In terms of appearance, because again, we spent a lot of time having fun.
Yeah.
The last podcast about what didn't work.
Yeah.
The fellas that didn't present themselves, yeah, well, or just the situation just didn't work out. Yeah. What about this dude? Because there are people out there, yeah, who go, maybe I can try to be Stefan and be in a nice relationship with an educated, beautiful, yeah, confident black woman. So, what worked with Stefan? Physically, emotionally? Obviously, he had a job, yeah, like he was a professional, yeah, guy, so, yeah, the security thing was there, yeah, whatever. But what was it about him?
That we were different.
Did Stefan have on the denim?
No.
No matching denim? So it wasn't a New York thing, it was more of a Curtis thing.
It was more of a Curtis thing.
Did he have a Jesus piece?
No.
No Jesus piece?
No jewelry of note.
No.
But anyway, so we had things in common. We read a great deal. He was in an interesting job.
Was he college educated?
He was in college at the time. He was in college at the time. He graduated shortly before the end of our relationship. But he was
younger than me?
No, he was older than me.
So he was going back to school.
Yeah, he was going back to school.
Oh, good for him.
But yeah, he was in the arts, had a job in the arts, something that was sort of very different from what I did and not. And in a very similar vein to many things I'd experienced, it was an art field devoid of people of color. So I thought it was very cool that he was sort of transcending the norm. And we, you know, we laughed about things. And
traditionally, I guess he was not supposed to be.
Yes, very much.
That makes it appealing,
yes,
to women, especially an intelligent, yes, woman, because you want to find out, well, how did you end up,
exactly,
that way? You're not the normal dude who's doing whatever.
Exactly.
How in the world did you end up in that specific environment?
Indeed.
I wish young brothers would understand that. It takes a while, I think.
It does.
To get that.
And yeah, he was older, and I was 10 years older.
Okay. So. Do you like him old?
No.
With baguette?
No.
With baguette?
I like a mature person. I like someone who is...
With baguette.
I like someone with the je ne sais quoi.
With baguette.
Oui.
Okay. So, this black man rocks your world. Are you forever? Are you just off white dudes now? Or?
I don't know. I don't
so it's
know.
Been after him, it was just on to the next black?
Yeah. And I'm happy there, so...
But yeah, so, but you mentioned after school and didn't talk about it, but you did date some what, any interesting stories?
Yeah.
Before you got this to Stefan and after you come back to what after you come back to school with this confidence in you, and then you're ready to try it out, but your history would say you're not ready for Stefan yet.
Yeah.
So you start going after people in your circle, and they happen to be white guys. So give us, because I'm sure that.
Well, okay, no, because that's what I said. Like, when I got back from your school, finished grad school, so we're talking between like 23 and 27, it was all white guys.
Oh.
And they were. What?
Whoa, 4 years, wow.
Yeah.
You went through college. That's like college. You went to white guy dating college.
I went to white guy dating college.
So, freshman year and white guy dating college, what was it
freshman
like?
Freshman year was a lot of sort of short dates.
Like, size wise? Were they croissants?
They were.
Oh, we didn't get. I'm assuming you didn't get that part.
No, we did not. Okay. No, because they were like six, seven months at a time. Okay. Sort of very short relationships. But there was a pastor. Well, not a pastor. He was a minister. He had gone to seminary. He lived in his parents' attic, and seemed okay with that. And that was not okay with me. And I prayed a lot about it because I felt like I was being judgmental of a man of God. But in the end, I needed
all the praying. Couldn't
it? Couldn't
you? Could so was he good in any other in every other way except for the fact he just lived in his parents' attic?
No,
he had some shortcomings.
He had shortcomings.
The devil was in him.
No, he was just like he was working a part-time job at like a grocery store bakery, and he seemed okay with that. And he had horrible shoes. Oh, his shoes drove me crazy.
What constitutes
like,
horrible shoes?
I begged him to get new shoes.
What constitutes horrible shoes for the man out there?
Okay, so there were two kinds of shoes. He had this one pair of hiking boots that he wore.
Like Tim's?
No, like Skecher hiking boots that he had for a very long time. He was very frugal, which is okay to a certain extent, but I went to a prestigious private university. So when I'm going out and you're going out with my friends, you can't show up in run-over shoes. Like, it says something about how much you care about your life. He had a pair of dress shoes that were, like, used to be leather, but they were just, those shoes. I think by the end of our quote-unquote relationship, those shoes became a symbol of everything that I silently despised about him.
One.
They were old.
Two.
They were cheap.
Three.
He was okay with that.
So it's the fact that he was okay. That's what I keep hearing. He was okay with his...
Mediocrity.
Sad.
And I'm just a person of drive. And so...
Do you think that's a problem? Not so much the look of a man or the, what clothes you wear. Well, obviously, it wasn't because it was an issue here. But the fact that you mentioned that drive,
mm-hmm.
the fact that it, at 23 you have your bachelor's and your master's,
mm-hmm.
is it just, we're saying it's tough to find men in general who have that?
Yeah, I mean, not tough, but tough if you're looking for a fellow 23-year-old. Because it's a certain mindset, like they're probably on their grind too, and they're not looking for a relationship at that point. So if they're
on their grind, don't they have that drive then? Wouldn't that constitute a certain drive?
They do, but that drive often takes you away from relationship time. You're devoted to, okay, I know I'm going to get married, I'm going to have a family, so I'm going to spend 23 to 29 getting my stuff together and like preparing myself to find a wife and be a father, and that's amazing. Which is why I found myself dating older, because, men in their mid to late 30s were at that point. And I was, you know, I had sort of rushed through because I was always the go-getter and ahead of the curve. I was there and they were there too, and we had more in common perhaps than someone who happened to be my age but was working as well they should to be prepared to have that life later. So there was that dude who worked in the grocery store. So we broke up. Oh, I broke up with him.
Again, we're talking white men that you dated.
Yeah.
Post-college.
Before
you had a serious black relationship at 27.
Yeah. So to sort of sum this guy up, at the same time, again, it became a vehicle. I was changing my body. When I came out of college, I was grossly overweight. It was just unhealthy. And I decided for myself I wanted to change that. And I happened to be changing it while I was dating him. He didn't necessarily get all those changes. And, you know, the idea that I wanted fruit for dessert seemed crazy for him. And I'm like, because you lazy slob, I want to make my life better. So, long story short, I hit my health goals. I lost 100 pounds.
Whoa, how long did that take?
About a year.
Wow, that is drive.
Yeah, so I lost 100 pounds. And at the year, I threw a major party. I threw my 100-pound party. I made reservations at a really fancy restaurant. I bought a really cute cocktail dress. My girlfriends bought me jewelry and shoes, and he was my date. Suffice it to say, at the end of this night,
it was over.
One of my friends offered to pay for my meal because he was not prepared to do so on my big night. And I had bought him a pair of shoes to wear to that event because I was like, if you wear those stink ass run over imitation leather hiking boots to my 100-pound party. And after that party, I was like, I can't, I don't like the sound of your breathing. So the very next day, I left church and I was like, dear Lord, help me break up with this pastor because it's going to happen. And we met in a coffee shop and I gave him the, it's not me, it's you, and we cannot be together.
So let's put that straight. It is always them.
No, not always.
No.
But in this case, it was.
It was. All right, so pastor's gone. Who's the second white dude?
I swung the pendulum the other way, and I'm still friends with this guy, in case he hears this. I swung the pendulum the other direction. I dated a Russian theoretical chemist.
What?
We will call him Vladimir.
What?
I dated a Russian theoretical chemist.
Now, where does Vladimir go to meet you? That sounded more German than Russian, actually.
It did. Online. We met online.
Oh.
We met online.
Was he in Russia?
No. He was in the city I live in now here in central North Carolina.
Was he originally? Well, he was Rush. He came over here from. Mm-hmm. So you meet him, he liked this world, obviously, because he saw your face and he wants to. Now I sound like a gay joke.
So let's just, you be you and I'll be me.
I sound like Dietra from Saturday Night Live. You laugh, man. You laugh it. It's wonderful. No, but I could do a Russian accent. I'm sorry to take it. I could do it. I'm sure you can. But I'm sad because I want to. What would, does that sound a little more? No, it's going back, it's reverting back to German.
Yeah, it's just,
but there was some brilliant German theory. Can he be a German? For the sake of the story, can he be a German theoretical
philosopher? Sure, he can be from Germany.
So he's German?
He's German.
Can he slightly gay?
No. What would that
but you wouldn't have,
mean?
Would you have known?
Yes.
Would you?
I hope I would, if he sounded like that.
What you're trying to say?
I don't.
What are you trying to say?
You know what?
So you met this German theoretical chemist.
He was Russian.
He was German. He met this German theoretical physicist.
Yes.
Online. Chemist. So he's a chemist. So there was chemistry, obviously, between the two.
Yes. Da.
Yeah. So you guys went out for how long?
7 months.
Oh, you have the 7 months each, don't you?
Pretty much.
It looks like you have a 7 month each.
But no, but clearly later that's proven false.
So, because you're Stefan.
Yeah.
So you meet online.
Yeah.
And you go out.
Yeah.
Now, we already established you have problems with math and in chemistry. There's a lot of adding going on. So, what? How did you navigate? Did you lie a lot that you let him take care of the math in that relationship?
No.
He did all the bills and such?
No, we didn't live together. There's no need for
him
to be
bills. But the calculations when you went out to eat, did
he
you?
He paid for everything.
So he did all the calculations.
Yes.
Oh. He begged for everything?
Everything.
Oh, so he was a wealthy man? No, he was older.
He was older.
10, 12, 13, 14, 15, 20 years.
No.
10 years. 10 years old. He was 33.
Yeah.
He established himself in his professional,
36.
His professional career. And his theoretical physicist.
Chemist.
So he thought about being a chemist, but he never really was a chemist.
Yeah. The powerless up out of this towering inferno. My ink so hot it burned through the journal. I'm blacker than midnight on bro where you myrtle. Hip hop past all your tall social hurdles like the nationwide projects, prison industry complex. Working class poor, better keep your alarm set. Streets too loud to ever hear freedom ring. Say you're back in with your sleep. It's dangerous to dream, but your chain cats get the chip. You dead now. Killing fields need blood to graze the cash cow. It's a numbers game, but shit don't add up somehow. Like I got 16 to 32 balls. The rocket, but only 15% of profits ever seen my pockets like 69 billion in the last 20 years spent on national defense, but folks still live in fear like nearly half of America's largest cities is one quarter black. That's why they gave Ricky Ross all the crap. 16 ounces to a pound, 20 more to a key, a 5 minute sentence hearing and you're no longer free. 40% of Americans own a cell phone so they can hear everything that you say when you ain't home. I guess Michael Jackson was right, you were not alone. Rock your hard hat black as you in the terror dome full of hard niggas, large niggas, dice tumblers, young teens in prison greens facing life numbers, crack mothers, crack babies, and AIDS patients. Young bloods can't spell, but they can rock you a PlayStation. Snoo Mav is whipping motherfuckers' ass. You wanna know how to rhyme? You better learn how to add. It's mathematics.
Mighty most deaf.
It's simple mathematics. Check it out. I'll revolve around science.
What are we talking about here?
Mighty most deaf.
It's simple mathematics. Check it out. I'll revolve around science.
What are we talking about here?
It's one universal law, but two sides to every story. Three strikes and you bitten for life. Mandatory. Four MCs murdered in the last 4 years. I ain't trying to be the fifth when the millennium is here. Yo, it's 6 million ways to die from the 7 deadly thrills. 8-year-olds getting found with 9 mils. It's 10 p.m. where your C's at. What's the deal? He on the hill.
So what was the interesting about that? The thing, professional, who dates a fucking theoretical chemist? So it's just about you. So what drew you to her?
He was very sweet. He was very sweet and he was very honest. He liked me a lot.
You were kind of self-absorbed, I was kind of seeing you.
No.
He liked me a lot. I'm a phenomenal woman. They all love me.
No.
I go to Norway, they buy me drinks everywhere.
No. Oh. He was just really sweet. He remains a dear friend of mine now. He was very kind. He thought I was funny. He was like, you're very funny. Chemists aren't funny. I sit during calculations all day. You're funny, and we go and do things. And his life was his job. He was he's very dedicated. He's well published because he devoted so much time to his job. And I feel like our relationship gave him that sort of entertainment reprieve, which eventually became a problem. That, you know, I see you, you know, for 36 hours straight from Friday to Sunday. But then I don't see you Monday to Friday because you're in the lab and you're running calculations and we might maybe be able to get a cup of coffee or talk for a few minutes. And then it's like, it's Friday. What are we going to do, sweetie? What are we going to do?
That sounded French. I don't know what the heck.
Well, that's what he sounds like.
What are we going to do?
Yes.
Does that sound better?
What are we going to do?
What are we going to do? What are we going to do? So what did you guys do?
We went to museums. We went hiking. We went to the beach. We went to movies. We hung out with my friends and played board games. And that was hilarious because English was not his first nor his second language. But anyway, so we played one night and he thought it was hilarious because there's English words and he just liked saying them. And my friends thought it was funny, but he was so smart, none of us knew what the hell he was talking about. Like, we would be out at dinner, and even now, we'll go catch dinner together, and I'll ask him, what are you doing? And he proceeds to tell me, and I'm like, I need you to draw a picture. And he'll draw a picture, and I still don't understand, so I just nod and smile and say, congratulations on getting published. But,
so that's a 7 month second guy. Yeah. You have any stories? Do you have any stories of kind of these failed days? Because I think from the responses I've gotten, people love to hear about your failed dates here.
After the chemist, there was a series of just short, let's hang out and see what happens, building up to Stefan. And one of those, actually there was a couple of those that were atrocious. One of them ended with me in the bathroom texting my then roommate to tell her to in 3 minutes text me back and pretend that you are locked out of the house.
No.
Because the date went something like this. You are the man. I just want you to sit there. So, hi. Are you Tom? I'm Ansi. Nice to meet you. And the whole time, Tom is sitting there, like, smiling, very eagerly smiling, but frightened to say anything. And I'm like, so, tell me about yourself, Tom. And Tom proceeded to, well, I'm an accountant, or whatever he did. And I was like, that's great. What do you do, Ansi? And I'm like, well, blah, 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 this is my job, and this is my profession, and these are the things I like to do. And for a good 10 minutes, he sat and stared and smiled, and nodded at appropriate points, but said nothing. At which point I said, oh my, I need to run to the ladies' room. I texted my roommate at the time, and I'm like, sup, girl? You have to hit me back in 3 minutes. And in 3 minutes, I need you to send the most urgent sounding text that says you are locked out and I must get home because your bridesmaid's dress or something is
you
in the
show
house.
This to the dude? You have to show this to
Oh, yeah. Dude. So I come back to the table and in 2 minutes my phone goes off and I pull it out and I'm like, wow, this is, oh my God, what is this? And of course he's still sitting there kind of smiling. I'm like, my roommate, she is this girl. Crazy, look at this. And thankfully she has texted out, oh my God, Ansi, I'm just so crazy, I love, and I leave. So that's one of the horrible post-theoretical genius dates. The next one was just scary.
You can hear Miss Ansi talk about that scary date and a couple others on part two of this episode, and this is episode 2 of the Ubuntu podcast. So check it out. In the meantime, enjoy yourself. Have a good time and come back. Come back. Come back, you hear? Never looking back or too far in front of me. The present is a gift, and I just want to be.